Let's look into the teaching material. Of the page 6, the Colossians, preeminence of Christ. Jesus Christ is the center of our faith. And also, Jesus Christ is the foundation of our faith. So, we have to know Jesus Christ in depth. When we say know Jesus Christ, it's not only know Him superficially. You know a person? A lot of time, we only know a person superficially, right? Where does the person live? What is the name of the person? And what is the family background of the person? If you want to rent a house, you have to fill up a lot of information, right? And then the owner of the house is going to credit check. You type into the website and the credit check will come out. All your financial history. So we know a person through different ways. Even the Facebook, right? You know a person, use a lot of picture to show the person. But how can you really know a person? The character of the person? And what is the thinking of the person? What is the value of the person? What is the idea of the person? Not until you really spend time together with the person. Now, Jesus Christ is the same. According to 2 Corinthians, right? They judge Jesus Christ by flesh. You look into 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Jesus according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no more. What does it mean, know Jesus Christ according to the flesh? Flesh means something you can see. It's tangible. So flesh including the outer appearance. Flesh including the family background. Jesus was very eloquent. But they discovered that Jesus' father was a carpenter. Then they were unable to listen to Jesus' sermon anymore. Why? Because most of them are very prominent in that generation. So they look into Jesus Christ, the son of a carpenter. Is a lower class. And that family background cannot match with their social status. So they run away from Jesus Christ. And they look at Jesus and they consider Jesus was not educated. So they try to know Jesus according to the flesh. So from now on, we should not understand Jesus, recognize him according to the flesh. Then, how are we going to know Jesus Christ? That exactly what the Colossians try to tell us. Let's come to Colossians. Chapter 1. Verse 20 to 23, yesterday we talked about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He reconciled us with God through his own blood. So this is called the gospel, the good news. And because of reconciliation, so 23, the gospel brings us hope. What kind of hope? Once we reconcile ourselves with God, our hope is to see God face by face when we die. This is our hope. So Christian has only one true and living hope, to see God in the future. Oh. So Paul mentioned that he becomes the minister of the gospel. Oh. This is the grace of God. And verse 24 to 29, chapter 1, verse 24 to 29 of Colossians. If you look into the teaching material, the ministry of the gospel. Now, Paul tried to explain he is a minister of the gospel, engaged in the ministry of the gospel. So what was he doing, actually? 24 to 27, he wants to present the words of God in its fullness. Present the words of God in its fullness. Let's see 24. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Now I rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up my flesh what is lacking in the affliction of Christ. For the sake of his body, which is the church. So what does that mean? I rejoice in my suffering for you. Why? Because to fill up my flesh, what is lacking in the affliction of Christ. So what does that mean? Jesus Christ suffered on the cross, right? Because of his suffering, so salvation will be available. But after a person receives salvation, just like you and me, we are not still perfect yet. So after the church in Colossae received the gospel, they are not perfect yet. So for this reason, Paul wants to make them become perfect through his servitude to God. And in order to make them perfect, so Paul had to suffer physically to preach the gospel to them, to spend time with them, to teach them. So this is called fill up my flesh, what is lacking in the affliction of Christ. That doesn't mean the gospel is incomplete. That means after we receive gospel, we are not still complete yet. So we need somebody who become a tutor, who keep on following up us, guide us, encourage us, and praying for us. And the one who tried to bring us into perfection, always the one who is waiting to suffer. And always the one who waiting to contribute time and effort to help us. So we can gradually become perfect. And that's exactly what Paul is saying. So Paul suffering so that after we receive Jesus Christ, we can become perfect. That's what we say, Paul was saying here. You know, when you bring a truth seeker to believe and then help the truth seeker to grow into maturity and can be independent, how long does it take? How long does it take? You bring a truth seeker and keep on following up until the person baptized and keep on following up until the person is mature enough, it can be independent. How long does it take? At least 2 to 3 years. 2 to 3 years. It takes a lot of time. No? Have you ever played the electronic chicken? Or maybe you are too young, right? It's about 10 or 15 years ago. For a period of time, it was very popular, electronic chicken. Everybody pray for it? Huh? A few hours later, you have to push the button. And before you sleep, push the button. And then in the middle of the night, you push the button. If you don't push the button, then the chicken die. Hey, how many pounds you eat a charcoal chicken grown up? How many pounds? What is the weight? Huh? That's something very interesting, right? You raise an electronic chicken, you forget it, and you die, right? Look. Oh. The mother never forgets the children, right? Oh. No matter who your mother is, always think about you. Then, a person who wants to grow into spiritual maturity need somebody always pay attention to them and guide them and help them and pray for them. And that's what Paul says, I suffer to make up the affliction of Jesus Christ. Now, verse 25, chapter 1, verse 25. Which I become the minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you, to fulfill the words of God. So what does it mean to fulfill the words of God? Which means to preach the gospel in its fullest. Right? To explain the gospel in its fullest, 100% according to God's will. And that's exactly what we are doing now. We try to preach the gospel exactly according to 100% according to the Bible. And in the post time, what was a mystery? Verse 26. Now it's not a mystery. The mystery was has been hidden from ages, from generation, now has been revealed to all the saints. According to verse 27, what was the mystery? To them, God will be made known what was the riches of his glory, of his mystery among the Gentile, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So in the time of Paul, you know, before Paul, right, preached the gospel to Gentile, for 1,000 years in the Old Testament, they considered the non-Jews as a Gentile. Gentile means they are not the chosen people. They are the second class. Only the chosen people belong to God. And the mystery, so to them, what is the mystery? The mystery is God wants to choose the Gentile to believe in the gospel to be saved. To them, it's a mystery. So before they understand that, you know, in the book of Acts chapter 10, right? Peter went to preach to Cornelius. Cornelius was a Italian, was not a Jew. And Peter wanted to go there. Peter saw a vision. What kind of vision? Acts chapter 10. He saw a piece of cloud wrapped up, unclean animal, and descend from the heaven, and ask Peter, right? The unclean animal you can kill and eat it. So what that means? Unclean animal typifies the Gentile. You can kill and eat it means you can use it, means God will save it. And Cornelius saw the vision, say, you have to invite Peter to come, because he has the words of salvation. Yes, you are a good person, but you need the words of salvation come from Peter. Right? So both visions come together with one purpose, to save the Gentile. So to them, it's a mystery, but today, it's not a mystery anymore. God wants to save the Israelites. It's not a mystery anymore. But today, what is the mystery? The mystery is true church. Right? True church. In the time of Paul, there was only one church.
as apostolic church. In the time of Paul, there's only one church. Now, how many churches? So many different churches. Right? And the mystery is, the church is the body of Christ. So many churches, and which church is the body of Christ? Then it's a mystery. So we have to bring the gospel in its complete fullness. So you can know the mystery of God revealed in the true church. The baptism, the truth of baptism is in the true church. The truth of Holy Spirit is in the true church. The truth of foot washing is in the true church. The truth of Sabbath is in the true church. Right? So right now, the mystery is in his body, is in the true church. So our church mission is to bring the complete gospel to its fullness. And then we read 28 and 29, chapter 1. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. Verse 29. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which work in me mightily. According to the mighty power of God in me, I labor every day. So Paul preaching the gospel, he wants to present everyone perfect in Christ. So what does that mean? Bring everyone in front of the Christ. That everyone know Christ. That everyone rooted in Christ. And this is the way to prevent the member from being deceived by the heresy. You know Christ, your faith rooted in Christ, right? That is the most important. So when we bring the truth seeker to the church, yes, you have to introduce the truth seeker, right? This is our brother, this is our church council member, and this is our pastor, this is our elders, right? But that's not enough. The most important for a person is not to know the people in the church. Yes, it's necessary that the truth seeker know the people in the church. But the most important is that the truth seeker know God, know salvation, know Jesus Christ. So you know that the truth seeker come to the church, there are two stages. The first stage, the truth seeker is going to judge whether they are going to remain in the church, mainly because of what? The people here. Whether the people here is nice. The environment is very warm. Alright? The people are very, very good. If the first impression, they feel no good, they are not coming again. No. But after the truth seeker joined the church for a period of time, will gradually bring the truth seeker to understand what? Salvation is here. The complete gospel is here. The true Holy Spirit is here. So here is the gate to heaven. Here is the temple of God. Once the truth seeker come to this understanding and rooted on the truth, even some people sin against the truth seeker. Even the truth seeker are not satisfied with the people. The truth seeker will never go. Why? Because we already brought the truth seeker to God. So when we bring the people to the church, it's not enough. You have to make sure the people you bring to the church really present them in front of God. That the person build a personal relationship with God. The same with today, you come to church. If you come to church, the church, because what? Oh, my father, that generation, three generations are already through Jesus church member. So how can I live through Jesus church? That's not good enough. If you come to church because of family connection, that's not good enough. I come to True Jesus Church because I have a lot of friends come to this church. So I come to True Jesus Church. My best friend come to church, so I follow him. That's not good enough. I come to True Jesus Church because True Jesus Church has a lot of activity. I like to attend the activity. That's not good enough. I come to the True Jesus Church because True Jesus Church have a lot of good people. I want to associate with them. That's not good enough. I come to the True Jesus Church because it's close to my home, walking distance. That's not good enough. I could come to the True Jesus Church because a lot of food to eat. That's not good enough. Right? And what kind of faith is good enough? I come to the True Jesus Church because the salvation is here. This is the true body of Christ. The complete gospel is here. So that's the reason I come here. Then the faith is complete before God. Okay. You know that if today you have been diagnosed with cancer and somebody tell you there is a hospital, right, in San Diego who can cure your cancer. Are you going? Are you going? San Diego, 2 hour drive. If it's weekend now, Friday evening, 3 to 4 hour drive. Are you going? If you have cancer, there's only one hospital in San Diego can cure your cancer. Are you going? 3 hour, 4 hour drive, you are going. Why do you go? Because you want to survive, right? And then, one day you drive there, you feel that, the nurse is very cold, right? Not very supportive, not very friendly. The doctor even feel worse. Are you coming again? Are you coming again? You visit the hospital, the nurse is not good, the doctor is not good. Are you coming again? Are you sure? Olivia, are you sure you're not coming again? You keep on shaking your head. You're not coming again. Because the whole United States, only one hospital can cure your sickness. Are you coming again? Even the hospital is very far. Even the hospital not clean. Even the nurse is no good. Even the doctor very cold. You still go. Why? Because you want to get your sickness cured, right? And that sickness is what? It's sin. So Jesus Christ said, why? Only the sinner needs physician, right? Only the sick needs physician, and that sickness is our sin. But today, I just give you an example. Our church is not so cold. Our church is not dirty. Right? Our people are not unfriendly. Right? Our worker is nice. I just give you an extreme example. So the reason we come to church, you bring the people to the church, eventually to make sure he's rooted. Rooted, not because of what? Rooted in a pastor. No. Rooted in a good friend. No. Rooted in the parent, no. Rooted on activity, no. Why? Rooted on Jesus Christ. And then that faith is solid. And that's exactly what Paul tried to say. Bring people in front of God. Now, chapter 2. You look into question 4. What is the main goal of serving God? You know serving God, right? The two commissions entrusted by Jesus. What are the two commissions? Anybody know it? What are the two commissions entrusted by the Lord Jesus Christ? Next one. Daniel, what are the two commissions? To preach, there's only one. Another one. You don't know. Next one. Jessica. Yeah. You don't know. Okay, next one. Malaysia. Okay. Two commission. Yes. One is recorded in Mark chapter, the last chapter. Another one recorded in the last chapter of John. What are the two commissions? Last chapter of John, Jesus Christ asked Peter, "Do you love me?" And Peter said, "No, I love you." And what did Jesus Christ say? Yeah, feed my lamb. It means pastoral walk. So all the holy work in the church directly are indirectly supporting the two commissions. Preaching the gospel and take care of God's sheep. So the main goal of serving God is to preach the gospel, the first commission, and feed his sheep, do the pastoral work. So what is the main goal of serving God? When we do these two commissions, eventually we try to present everybody perfect in front of God. And that is what, from verse 24 to 29. Now, we're going to chapter 2, verse 1 to 23. Attain the full knowledge of Christ. Verse 1 to 5. Chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. The mystery of God is Christ. Chapter 2. Verse 1. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea. And for as many as you have not seen my face in the flesh. Verse 2. That their heart may be encouraged, be knit together in love, attending all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both the Father of the Father and of Christ. Now, according to verse 3, in whom are hidden all the treasure of wisdom and knowledge. So all the wisdom and knowledge is hidden where? Verse 3. All the wisdom and knowledge are hidden where? Read verse 1 to verse 3. All the wisdom and knowledge are hidden where? Well, are all the knowledge and wisdom hidden? Huh? Jesus Christ, yes. All the knowledge and wisdom are hidden in Jesus Christ. The wisdom and knowledge here is talking about what? Spiritual wisdom and knowledge. If you know God, if you want to know God, the knowledge of God is hidden in Jesus Christ. Right? If you know Jesus Christ, you know God. If we don't know Jesus Christ, we don't know God. Why? Because God is abstract. God is invisible. Nobody had ever seen God. But this invisible God has become flesh into the world. Something you can see, you can hear, you can touch. So when you do research about Jesus Christ, about the way he lived his life, about the words he has spoken, about what he viewed about things. All this kind of knowledge will help you to understand God, because Jesus is God himself. So all the wisdom and treasure and knowledge hidden in Jesus Christ, referring to spiritual wisdom and knowledge.
So that is the reason we have to understand him very much. Ah.
Look, in the four gospel, if you read the English version, sometimes the words of Jesus, they use a red color to print it out, right? Matthew, Mark, John, Luke. If you have time, you can count. Oh. Those who print in red color, how many sentences? Well, it takes probably take you a few days to count it, right? In the four gospel, the sentence spoken by Jesus, how many? Some people really count it. It's about 600 sentences. Oh. And this 600 sentence is truth. Oh, settled in heaven forever. And these 600 sentences contain a lot of wisdom and knowledge of God there. Oh. So if you are able to fully understand these 600 sentences, you will be able to fully understand God. This is the first way. Huh? Understand the word spoken by Jesus. The second, in the four gospel, you can see Jesus Christ, especially in his ministry, he has done so many things. Right? He has done so many things. If you can understand the meaning of what Jesus has done, then you will be able to understand God. Oh. Because God manifests his works through Jesus Christ. Oh. Right? The third way. Oh. You look into the whole New Testament, a lot of older saints, they have experience about God. God revealed them to the older saints, including what? Peter, John, James, Paul. You read their book, God revealed Jesus Christ to them. So their perception of Jesus Christ will help us to understand God. Oh. So three ways. Huh? If you want to understand God, three ways. The first is directly study the words of Jesus Christ. Oh, about 600 sentences. The second is to study the works. The first one is the words. The second, the works of Jesus Christ in depth. The third one is God's revelation to the early worker, early saints in the New Testament. Peter, John, James, or Paul. Oh, how did they understand God? If you understand their perception about God, then you will understand God deeper. Oh. Now, there are sources. All the knowledge has been hidden in them. Okay, so the mystery of God is Jesus Christ. Now we come back to chapter 2, verse 2. Be knitted together in love and attaining all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of mystery of both. So we need to have understanding and assurance and faith. Oh. Full assurance and understanding. Full assurance comes from faith and understanding. So our belief is not a blind belief, blind faith. Our belief, behind the belief, there is a theology behind. Anybody of you come from the Buddhist family? Buddhist family, okay. Have you worshipped idol before? Anybody worshipped idol before? Oh, okay. And all your parents worship idol, right? Do you know, sister, when you worship idol, do you know what you are worshipping? Only name, are you? Only name, right? Yeah. A lot of people, including your parents, they worship the idol. If you ask them, what are you worshipping? Guan Gong, Guan Yin, Ma Zu. Oh, and then what? All different kind of idol, right? If you ask them to explain what is Guan Gong, they cannot say anything. What is Guan Yin? What is Ma Zu? They cannot say anything. There's an older saint, a good virtue. That's all. It's only a person. There's no theology behind the idol worshipping. The idol worshipping simply just because of what? Protect me to have safety and give me prosperity. That's all. There's no theology hidden beside. But when we worship Jesus Christ, there is a very profound theology in behind. Look, the whole Bible, even the Bible is so only a small book, right? If you go to the theological seminary, right, you look into the commentary, the 66 books, the commentary all almost contain the whole room. Oh, so you know the teaching of the Bible is very profound. TTP students spend 3 years study what? Study only one book, Bible. Oh, so the theology inside the Bible is very profound. Oh. So if we fully understand the words of God, we will be able to understand Jesus Christ. If we understand Jesus Christ, we will be able to understand God. Because the mystery of God is Jesus Christ. Oh, okay. Now, verse 3 and verse 4. Now we come to verse 4. Now, this I say, that anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. If we know Jesus Christ, right? Yesterday we did mention He is the truth. Only He Himself is absolute. So the 10 article of faith, this is the teaching of Jesus Christ. This is the truth. So if we arm ourselves with the 10 article of faith, anything different from 10 article of faith is wrong. So simple. Including other Christians. If they teach you anything other than 10 article of faith, they are wrong. This is absolute. 2,000 years ago, God revealed the truth to the early worker. They write down in the church, in the book, in the Bible. 2,000 years later, the truth has been revealed to TJC early worker. This is the truth. So once we have the truth, the something absolute in your heart, then nobody can deceive you. It becomes very clear. Your mind is very clear to make a distinction. This right, this wrong. Why? Because I know the 10 article of faith. Oh. Right. So the later day, before Jesus' second coming, the danger is not only outside. The danger also inside. Oh. Okay. Before Jesus' second coming, at least from the Bible, we see three kinds of dangers. So in the last days, it's very difficult to keep the faith. The first danger is what? The first danger is sin. Sin, just like a very powerful that wave in the ocean side, right? Tiding. The wave is so strong, you cannot stand. I remember the last time I helped the spiritual convocation in Pacifica Church. At that time, the church was still in Sunset area. And they performed the water baptism just in the ocean side, in the Sunset area, ocean side. One of the truth seekers went into the ocean side to have baptism. Oh, there was a huge wave, more than two person high. We baptized in the name of sister, in the name of Jesus Christ, and another brother hold her soldier shoulder, right, in the right side, and I hold her shoulder in the left side. When the wave come, three of us all been washed away to the shore. Oh, and then sister said, "Oh, the baptism in True Jesus Church is so terrible, oh, because the wave was so strong." So later on, there was a deacon from Bowen Park. He witnessed, "Oh, you choose the wrong place," because he was a captain. He said, "You have to choose a bay area, so the wave is more calm." So right now, they choose San Francisco airport, there's a Bay Area. During the baptism, you can see the belly of the airplane fly above. All right. There you come. Yeah. What I try to say is, when the wave is so strong, you cannot stand. Even you try your best, you cannot stand. So, before Jesus' second coming, the sinful wave is so strong. If we have no help of God, you cannot stand. You are going to fall. This is the first danger. The second danger is what? The world. Oh, I don't sin. I don't go to bar. I have no fornication. I don't watch the pornography, right? But the world is very interesting. You have been tempted by the world. So you keep on pursuing the world. Your American dream, right? When you have a house, you have a better house. When you have a house, you want to have a better location. When you have a car, you want to have a better car. When you have a better car, you want to have what? Fancy car. No. Right? When you have vacation, you want a better vacation. Originally, you did 1-star hotel. Next time, 3-star hotel. Next time, 5-star hotel. The next time is 6-star hotel. Right? So you keep on pursuing these kind of worldly things. You enjoy it. Gradually, you already forget about God. This is the second danger in the last days. People like the world. A lot of fun. A lot of excitement. Stimulation there. This is second danger. The third danger is what? Heresy. Heresy from outside, heresy from inside. Heresy from inside means they interpret the Bible wrongly. And like a yeast, affect the pure faith. The heresy from outside means they want to use a philosophical thinking to what change your faith. I remember there was a sister who was very fervent. Probably some of you probably heard about the story. Who was very fervent, but she had some question. So instead of asking the minister in the church, she went into online to chat with somebody who she did not know. And that guy was an atheist. And that guy was very eloquent. So she kept on chatting in the website, right? And later on, her faith had been changed. She started to doubt about the Bible. She started to doubt about her faith. So later on, she quit the church. Until now, she never come back to church. So you have to be watchful. Before Jesus' second coming, the danger is these three things. The last thing is heresy. I don't love the world. I will not commit sin. But it's still possible I will give up my faith. It's still possible eventually I will abandon TJC and went to join the other denomination. Why? Because the heresy come into your mind, change your belief. So that was the reason Paul had to write the letter of Colossians, try to warn them to be watchful over the heresy. And the heresy being spread around in the church. Now we look into the three kinds of heresy, right? At least two kinds. The first one, verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, not according according to the basic principle of the world, and not according to Christ. So the first heresy is what? Exaltation of human knowledge and philosophy. You elevate human philosophy and knowledge above the truth and try to use the human philosophy and knowledge to criticize the truth. Then it's very simple, very easy to be deceived. We know
From the Bible, we know there are two set of knowledge. The first set of the knowledge is in the world. The second set of the knowledge is in the Bible. There are two sets of the knowledge, right? Now, and the first set of the knowledge, you need to your brain, ration. Now, those who are high IQ, and if you want to spend more time, then you can think about a lot of difficult questions nobody can answer. Recently, I read an article. Einstein have some kind of math question nobody can resolve. And about 1 month ago, one of the youth in UK, right, from India, and he was able to resolve. Everybody was astonished. 100 years old question he was able to resolve. Because he was smart, IQ very high. He put effort into it. But if you ask this guy to read the Bible, everything nonsense. From the chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the universe, nonsense. Everything is nonsense. Why? Because you try to use the ration in the world to pursue the spiritual knowledge. To understand God, it's impossible. When you want to understand God, there's only one way. You come back to use God's method. What is God's method? First one is humble. Jesus Christ say, if you return yourself like a child, and he is going to reveal himself to you. But if you think I am very prominent, I have a PhD degree, I just pull down God from heaven and into the laboratory and try to cut it off, examine, and finally you find out what? There is no God. And God was laughing in heaven. Right. A tiny, small person, just like an ant, try to understand human being so big. A tiny, like an ant, try to understand human being 6,000 years history. How can it possible? Oh. So the first deception is try to use your ration, which you pursue the philosophy in the world, to understand the teaching of the Bible. This is the first major mistake. We will be decepted. Let's pray in silence. Amen.